You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening to you, and welcome, of course, to Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. I played you there a beautiful, beautiful song which ushers us beautifully into our conversation that we're going to have this Monday evening. And you know that Opa Mandag, as they would say in Afrikaans, I hope that I'm not butchering that, but Opa Mandag, we do this thing called personal finance, and today is no different. And we're talking about side hustle. I think considering the kind of economy that we find ourselves in, no one can say that side hustles are not needed. And I do think that it doesn't matter what income level you are in, whether you make money or not or whatever, but I do think that side hustles are a necessity. Now, ever since the pandemic, many people have become more open to investing in multiple income streams, and for very good reasons, we might add. Now, these are commonly referred to as side hustles and provide an additional income, which is outside one's day job, ranging from freelance gigs, right, to part-time roles as well. So the question we're asking then is, so how can we maximize our side hustles? Are they even necessary, or are we just a greedy society always looking for more? You know, when you're always chasing for something, and it seems like that something is always moving away from you. Perhaps maybe that's what side hustles are. But like I said, I'm a novice in this space. And to help us understand that, we've got our brother Witness Kamara joining us once more again on this show. Really appreciate his time, and is on the line. Witness, good evening to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. And how are you?
I am blessed.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. And we want to thank you once again for taking your time to join us. I really, really appreciate it. And you're saying that you're just lazing down a little bit with the family there, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's always appreciated, yeah. After a long week.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much once again. We really appreciate your time. Now, for people who are joining us and maybe running your own side hustles, and you want to share with us your side hustles, +27734703520. That's the number that you can use to let us know just how you are doing on your side hustles as well. Now, let's start here, Witness. Side hustles. Is a side hustle necessary, or are we just, like I said, a greedy bunch who is never satisfied with anything?
Look, it depends.
Okay.
It depends on how you look at it, right?
Okay.
It depends on how you you do it. And firstly, I'd just like to call it housekeeping.
Okay.
You need to look at your main hustle.
Okay.
First of all.
Okay.
From a legal perspective.
Oh,
to actually understand what you are allowed to do from a side hustle perspective.
Okay.
And that's the most important, that's what I would say is the most important thing you have to do first. Are you allowed to do a side hustle? And if you are, in what sort of realm are you allowed to do that?
Mm.
And you need to get that bedded down. So all organizations have rules and regulations around that.
Mm.
And you can be a hustler, but just make sure that your main hustle allows you to be a hustler.
Mm.
That's the first thing I would say.
Sure. You raise a very important point there. In fact, it was a blind spot there because I didn't really think about that bit, because, of course, we sign these contracts of employment and all that, and we don't really look at such things, whether we are allowed to do such things there. So you are saying that it's important to check that, you know, your contract, which is your main hustle, allows you to do that. Is it because you need to check whether the side hustle is in the same industry as your main hustle, or it's just to cross-check your, you know, I suppose legally, and just make sure that there's no way you are competing against your main hustle?
So it's actually it's two pronged.
Okay.
It's layered. The first thing is, can you actually be in a side hustle? And the second point is what you're doing
Okay.
contributing to that side hustle? So are you in the same industry as
Yeah.
your employer?
Okay. So are there, I suppose, companies, employers who generally just don't like people having two jobs, even if that job is outside of so-called office hours?
Oh, look, usually they're very accommodative of it,
Yeah.
but they just want to know if you're doing it and what exactly you're doing.
Yeah.
Which goes to the second layer, which is, are you competing?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even when you leave your employer, your
Yeah.
main hustle,
Yeah.
you'll find yourself in a position where you sign a non-compete, for instance.
Yes.
Because they already know what you have as equity
Yeah.
in what you know
Yeah.
and what you understand.
Yeah.
And whilst you're in it, if you're going to do something on the side, yeah, they want to know, but they also want to know that you're not using their, call it, infrastructure. And the infrastructure that they have provided you.
That's interesting. With the advent, though, witness of COVID-19, right, in 2020, and how that has affected a lot of people, because of, some either losing their jobs, or let's say those that are employed having had to take salary cuts and all that. Are really employers that stringent about, you need to declare to them and tell them that's what you're doing? That's number one. But related to that, what if I'm just doing something that is in the arts space and my employer, I suppose, is not in the arts place space per se, but there is obviously going to be a way in which they find out because of what I do. So maybe, through social media, they hear that, oh, he's a speaker somewhere and he does this and that and then. But I didn't really disclose to you because my assumption and my assessment was like, we're not in the same space, so why should I? So is it obligatory in a way? That's what I'm trying to understand.
It depends on your contracting. And look, no one will stop you from doing what you are blessed to do.
Yeah.
They just want to know.
Okay. Hey, these employers. I don't know, but I feel like there's a little bit of encroaching into my personal space. You employ me to be here from 8 to 5, right? And you've given me company infrastructure and everything to use. Why do you care what I do from 6 to 10 on weekends and I use my own infrastructure? Like deliberately, I need to come to you and tell you, oh, by the way, I also sell a little bit of chippies here and there, vegetables during the day, in the evening and on weekends as well.
Look, they won't stop you from doing it.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that you don't want to lose your main
Yeah.
because of a side. And I know that sounds a bit controversial,
Yeah.
but we're talking about jobs here.
Yeah.
But you don't want to lose your main because of a side.
Okay. No pun intended, right? So
Yeah, no pun intended.
love that. I heard you first time, so I was like, okay. I heard you first time, so that's interesting. Okay, but I think thank you so much for just raising that blind spot. I think it truly was a blind spot because we don't always look at them in that particular fashion. If we just glance witness at our parents a few years ago, or maybe a decade or two, depending on when you were born, right? It seemed like they were able to, I suppose, make ends meet or make do with just one job or so. Are we not burdening ourselves with these side hustles? Are we not adding unnecessary pressure on ourselves? Or maybe the second one, aren't these employers really stingy? Because I'm sure the cost of living has gone up, and so we can't really compare from that end. But it seems to be these two-pronged things that are really a problem.
Yeah. So, look, I wouldn't say that your employer is actually an impediment to your delivering on your side hustle.
Yeah.
Delivering on your side hustle is actually up to you.
Yeah.
And when you pursue a side hustle,
yeah,
I think that you should be doing something that you are good at.
Okay.
Right? Something that comes naturally. So if it's art, if you're going to paint on Saturdays and Sundays,
yeah,
then do that.
Yeah.
If it's speaking, if you're going to speak on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
If it's engineering, if it's advisory, if it's something that you actually you don't get to a point where you actually have to lay out call it capital, because that's actually an additional layer to add to it, to say, do you actually have the resources to do what you're doing? But quite often, the best you can get out of a side hustle is out of the skills that you have and the network that you have already created.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out of your way in setting out capital. Once you start setting out capital, then additional complications come into being.
Yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense. So just make sure it's within. Although I do think that if it's within my skills and what I can do, just need to be sure it doesn't, affect number one that we started with, because some of us maybe are in careers where it's almost intertwined with what we are good at, right? And so when we move out of it, we almost move out of it, but in the same kind of industry and all that. And if you think about how radio presenters, tend to become TV actors as well, it just becomes so murky in there. But I think, like you're saying, let's always remember the first one that we started with, which becomes I suppose very, very important. And what would you say then, Witness, before we even get into the pros and cons, because that's also what I'd really want to get at, but when is it a good time then for one to start considering, I suppose, getting a side hustle? We're not going to say side. We're going to add the word hustle there so that it's pretty clear. When would you say is the best time? I've got 10 years now in my industry, so maybe I might just try a side, or I'm just getting into the industry, or look at economic factors, that can determine whether you need to get into a side or not and all that. But when is it a good time?
No, I'd say when you actually have time. I think time is the most important element of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you don't have time to do it, then I would advise against it, unless you actually want to get off of what you do in your career and focus on something different. Secondly, I would say that you actually need to understand what you're getting yourself into, and what it will cost you in addition to time, because time is the I would say time is a variable that you have no control over. The rest you can probably control somewhat and somehow. But time is best. Okay, so if we go on to everything else, how much is it going to cost you from a money perspective? Do you have that money? Or are you going to need someone to help you with that money? Right? And that's something to consider as well. And which is why I said earlier that quite often we think that a side hustle is something that requires us to outlay capital. But the most efficient side hustle is actually something that requires you to delve deeper into your skill and mindset and actually use that to your advantage, because you don't have to When you delve into that, then you don't have to worry about money. It's about what you know. So, for instance, if okay, let's not go into the gold mafia. Let's talk about something as simple as fixing cars. If that's something that you understand very well, someone can pull into your garage anytime, and you open up their boot, you look around, and you find what the issue is, and you make some money out of that because they actually don't know how to do that, and that's why they drove into your driveway in the first place. And so on a Sunday, you can do that. You don't have to go and spend 10 million bucks to use your left brain.
Sure, that's interesting. And I suppose you're saying that because you can get banned, right? Either maybe because you overstressed yourself into something that you don't have a talent or ability to do that, plus also you don't have the time to do it. So you eventually then get banned in the process. And I think that's what I'm hearing you saying there.
Yeah, correct. Like, look, Tapa, I don't know if you're married yet, but if you just look at the cost of your wedding, one of the biggest variables there was your photographer. All he has is a camera. He doesn't have a big property. He doesn't have All he has is a camera and his talent to actually focus and get you the type of imagery that you actually want to retain over your lifetime. And that's the point I'm making to say that I think that that's where you start. It's based on what you're good at.
So he's got a keen eye that the normal average person doesn't have. So there's not really a lot of capital outlay that's required of him to continue to do that. And I do hope that, you know, people who are doing this as a business don't think we are, you know, bringing down their career. We are not. But we're just saying that don't venture into something that you are not, you don't have the ability to do it, right? And so it will require you to do a little bit more. I must be honest with you and a witness that I think I've ventured into something a couple of years ago, and I agree with you. I was like, I like this thing. Theoretically, it makes sense, but running it and then, you know, got banned because of time, didn't have time to really concentrate on it. And yeah, like you said, I then said, let me go back to my number one, the main, for now, while I still figure out time and all that and all that. So really, I agree with you there. Let's start with the pros. I suppose the pros are that you're going to make a little bit more money than just the money that you make on the side, on your main when you have a side hustle.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, it has to make sense from a financial perspective. You have to have more money disposable to yourself at the end of that call it effort. But what you find is that once you venture into that realm, you meet more people. More often than not. And you can also leverage off the people that you already know. So by the time you're done with it, your network is much larger than you were at the start. And in my experience as a professional, I find that your network actually determines your net worth. And so once you start growing that, the realms of possibility open up for you because if it's not as simple as waiting out for a request for a proposal on something that needs to be done. It's about problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jim and Joe are having coffee or tea on a Saturday afternoon, and then Jim says to Joe, I have a problem and I need it to be solved. If you're in Joe's network and he knows that you're the best person at doing that, immediately Jim will call you because Joe will give Jim your number. And that call it a word of mouth type of reference is golder than what you actually present in a resume.
I love that description and that analogy that you've used today. Really love it. Goldier than the true. And then the cons, is it lack of time?
That's where I would that's where I would start.
Yeah.
Because the thing with time is that it's not only the time that you need to do your work,
Yeah.
it's the time that you need to rest as well.
Hey, yeah.
So you actually need that because otherwise you'll burn out. Yeah.
I often hear people, even on social media, witness who say, I've got an 8 to 5 and a 5 to 9, and they glorify this thing as if it's an easy thing. You'll burn
No.
out. You'll burn out.
Yeah, it's not easy. And also as you get older, it can be painful. And if you don't get your downtime, not only do you affect your health, but you affect everything else. You affect your community, you affect your family, you affect your wife, you affect your children, etc., etc. So you need to balance all those things out.
Just to clear it in my head, maybe you'll help me. There are people who I suppose execs, right? Maybe an exec in company X, but also a board member in company W. Another board member as a board member in company Y, Z, and it seems like it's five different streams of income at the same time. Are they side hustling or what is it? Because it's an exec, it's a professional. It's not seen to be side hustling.
So, actually, you make a very good point because if you look at those guys, they are side hustling at level 100.
Yo, okay.
Because essentially, what they are contributing to that role is ingrained. It's what they know, it's what they've experienced, it's how they analyze things, how they process information, and how quick they are to make a decision based on what they know. Right? So you'll find that they sit on 10 of those boards. They haven't bought expensive machinery to earn that income. It's what they know that that allows them to say, you know what, today I'm sitting on X company's board. I understand this organization. I understand its history. I understand what it's been through, even through the financial crisis and through COVID, and out. And there's a decision to me to be made. And they contribute to the making of that decision, and they get paid. And that's it. And they could be on the audit committee or the remuneration committee or something else, which is actually also a side to the main board. And that's how they don't have to worry about much because they see a lot.
They
And they
see a
get paid
lot.
for that.
Sure. But I'm sure it takes time for them to go through board documents and prepare for the board in this one and sit, like you said, in the audit committee as well, or the governance, whatever. They still need to prepare for those. Some might be even chairing that. And you find that then someone is stressed 10 times in the five or so boards that he sits on because he has to sit in different, you know, wear this hat, wear that other hat, in the same board and all that. Aren't they also, you know, risking getting burnt out? Because I don't want it to sound like people who get burnt out are only those who start side hustles that require some or other capital outlay and the time that they then have to. Because they might not necessarily be bringing capital outlay, but what they know is capital, I suppose, which then, you know, allows them to sit in the boards that they sit in at that particular point in time. But they obviously have to prepare. And so, one day also, or one day at risk of burnout?
You know, the last point that you just made on the capital that one has built, and also on what one has to, how one has to prepare, is a very important one. And look, please do not tell this to my employer.
Yeah, they are not listening.
But once you get to that level, you can read a paragraph or two and understand the issue completely.
So they don't need like huge amounts of time. It makes me remember a story of a former colleague of mine who once told me that most of the ministers, and not every minister, but most of the ministers, they actually get the gist of the matter right 5 minutes into the meeting. They are going to like, minister, this one is about this and this. And because they obviously run from one meeting to the other. There's no weekend for them. They have to do press conferences, this and that. So they just need that high-level thing, and that's it, basically. Even at that level, as a board member, you just need 5 minutes of what's the executive summary, and then you walk into a board meeting.
Whew. Correct. If anything, nice, if you didn't see it coming, then maybe there's more development that you need.
Ouch! Ouch! Are you saying that that talks to inexperience in sitting in a board?
Yeah, like when it comes, you should have seen it coming, because when it comes, you're just like, oh, yes, we have to deal with this. But if you don't see it coming, then no, there's a problem.
Oh, wow, the shade witness.
Yeah.
But that's very true, because, I mean, one of the privileges we have here on Business Sense is to talk to execs. I remember we spoke to one a couple of months ago, and all she said was that, I just ask one question. That's what I'm there to do. You know, I just look at this thing, and it's only one question. If they answer that one question, then I'm fine. I don't have to engage in all the other stuff. That's there. You ask, what are you solving for? You know, people can present, and you just ask one question. What are we solving for? So you're coming to the board, and you're telling us you need 50 million. What are we solving for? That's all I want to know as a board member. Like, hey, these people have nice life. So like you're saying, unless if they didn't see it coming, then we should consider removing them. And I'm being too strong, but it means they are inexperienced and need to remove them. Maria, no witness. That's interesting.
And that's
one.
That's why I said it has to be something that you actually understand.
Yes.
It's ingrained in you. If you're a medical doctor.
Yeah.
If you're a lawyer, if you're an engineer,
yeah.
If you're a banker, you need to understand. You actually need to be at that point in time where all the stuff is now second nature to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and you actually made a very good example of the executive that comes to board and has one question.
Yes,
they actually don't have one question. They know the answer to it. They know what they're looking for, but they actually want to see if you understand exactly what you're putting us into. So usually the question comes out in a roundabout manner.
Yeah.
Not because they don't know the answer and they don't know what they're asking.
Yeah.
But they actually want to check how much you understand what you're about to get us into. because they already understand.
Yeah, I know. It's nice being a board member. Yeah. You get paid all these nice monies. You know the answer. Mm. You know what you want. That's it. That's what you want to do there. And all those sort of stuff. Yeah?
It won't get through board if they don't understand it. Once you're there, you actually have a platform to deliver an argument. But back to what we were talking about, which is side hustles.
Mm.
And I think that you've taken it all the way to where one needs to be.
Mm.
That's the level of decision making you should be able to deliver on yourself, on your family, on your peers, on society. You actually, that's the lowest capital intensive method to deliver on a side hustle.
On a side hustle, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just takes time, I suppose, and expertise and spending some time knowing the craft in and out so that you can just get to sit and ask that simple question as a side hustle there. Talk about then side hustles that have some sort of capital outlay that's required. What are some of the options there that are obvious in the market that one who's starting a side hustle that may require capital can look at as opposed to the intellectual capital we spoke about just now?
Yeah, so that's where it gets a little bit complicated because, you see, once you actually outlay real capital, as in real money, you always have to go back to what we just spoke about.
Mm.
You actually have to be smart in whatever industry you enter into.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's say you're starting a restaurant, for instance. It's either you are the guy that owns the Vietnamese restaurant in Four Ways, or you're the guy that owns Saint. That's not about capital. You've outlaid the same amount of capital, but the guy that owns Saint just understands how he has to pull the crowd to his place and how he has to make that crowd pay more per unit than what they pay when they come to your Vietnamese restaurant in Four Ways.
Okay. That's interesting one. That's an interesting one. Is it also a concept of, what do they call it, OPM, other people's money?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Always.
Yeah.
Actually, other people's money increases your return on investment.
Yeah.
So if you're spending $100 of other people's money to invest $100, then there actually is very little risk on you from a downside capital perspective, but you need to make sure that you get that 100 back.
Yes.
Otherwise, there's a problem. And you getting that 100 back goes back to the first point that you actually need to know what you're doing.
Yeah. That's very true. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing those insights. Any final thoughts from yourself? I think I've made a few notes here. Really important. Get into something that you really like, that you're really good at, I think, so that it doesn't really strain you. And also look at whether you've got the time for you to be able to get into that side hustle. Otherwise, it might start affecting your main. And you made a very important point there when you started on making sure that the main and the side, there's no clash between the two. It was a blind spot, honestly, on my side as I thought about this. But really, really, that's a beautiful one there. And just what you are saying right now, you know, from a pro's point of view, there's still an opportunity to grow your net worth, which will potentially grow your worth as well. So that's another opportunity there that having a side hustle also creates there. But it's about making sure that you balance things out. That's how I would summarize it from my side. How do you bring this home, this thing of side hustles?
Yeah, no, look, so I would say that it's something to consider at all times. But whenever you do, you just need to actually look at your capacity.
Yes.
Mentally, physically,
yes.
Emotionally, technically,
yes.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So you don't get into something that you can get yourself entangled in. And you don't want that, you don't want your side hustle to be that stressful.
Mm.
Your photographer, for instance, he's there for 2 hours and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his work for a week or even for a month.
Mm.
And he's done.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's good at.
Yeah.
And in fact, he probably does it in his spare time for his own pleasure. Mm. But it just so happens that this weekend he came and he did it at your wedding and he got paid 50,000 rand.
Yeah, some side hustles, I should consider them going forward, I tell you, because there's no way that the gold will make so much money, but that's something to consider. Thank you so much, Witness. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Tapul. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Witness Camara, helping us understand this thing called side hustles and how to work at them in a manner that actually isn't going to be, I suppose, a little bit more frustrating for you, because you really don't want to have a side hustle. As you mentioned, that just frustrates you, that takes your time, that stretches you in terms of your ability, right? And it ends up affecting your main. So you end up losing your main, and also losing, of course, in terms of your side hustle, because it's not something that you're good at. Yo, just when we thought that side hustles were nice, just when we thought that side hustles are things we should be doing, Witness has just reminded us, yay, you should be very careful when you do these side hustles. They are not just for anyone. Like to hear from you. If you've got a side hustle, +27734703520. How did you navigate your side hustle, and how is it treating you? That's definitely where we'd like to hear from you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.